We're going to have you go in your Bibles to John chapter 3 again. We're going to look at Nick at night again, Nicodemus. And I might even give you some of my testimony so that you can know who I am and where I come from in regard to this wonderful mystery of salvation that breaks our egos, that is our ego being edging God out of our lives, E-G-O, edging God out, so that we can reign supreme as the masters of our domain and kingdom, when really he is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We just think we are. Ha! Anyway, let's look at what it says. I'm going to be in the Good News Bible again. I kind of love the King Jimmy and love all the different translations, but in any of them that open my heart and mind up to understanding him better. But I'm just a simple country boy, so y'all just bear along with the little fella, okay? Here it is again. He's talking to Nick at night. We said he came, a Pharisee, he came at night. That's in 3 and verse 1. It says, there was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. Verse 2, one night he went to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, meaning teacher, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you were doing unless God were with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered, I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Wow. Be born again. And of course, Nicodemus, y'all know the story how he throws some stuff at Christ and talks about in verse 4, how can a grown man be born again? Question mark, Nicodemus asking. He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. Of course, we got to understand, Jesus in this Bible speaks through poetry and metaphors, and Jesus used parables and all types of ways to talk to people who talk crazy to him. So he'd say some things to him. But he would speak truth, but sometimes it's spiritual truth. Just like when he said, if you have this the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move this mountain. And we don't understand that all of us are facing a mountain, a spiritual mountain that can only be moved by having faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So here's Jesus story at him saying, hey, I'm telling you the truth, verse 5, that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. You got to be born physically, and you got to be born through the water of the Word. You got to be born spiritually. That means you have to perceive and receive the truth, which will open up your spiritual eyes and ears and your spiritual man who's been laying there dormant, in a sense, dead, until he hears his truth and is shocked into life again. And that's what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. That's how you are born again. And born again makes it possible for us to know the Father, we can know the Son, and we can know the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know him in a deeper way. He wants us to know him in a way that, with just fullness, we can have a full understanding of life with him. We can know that the Father is the source of all of love, and that he's given us Jesus to be the mind of God. And then you have the Holy Spirit who gives us power, the wind. It's almost like thinking about heart, mind or brain, and lungs. Those are the three central parts of our bodies that we need for life. The heart, the brain, and the lungs. And the source of those is the heart. And God the Father is the heart. He's the heart of God, and Jesus is the mind. The mind of Christ is the mind of God, and the Holy Spirit is the ruach, the wind, the breath of God. Spirit and wind are the same words when you start studying Hebrew. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, that was just a little, there was a little teaching on the side as we go through these wonderful verses. But thank God for letting us have a deeper understanding of the word, not just reading it and with just a little. We got to have to read it literally, but we got to ask the Lord to take us deeper and understand that this is a great book, a living book, and it utilizes all types of grammatical and poetical tools that open our minds and our hearts to understanding who God is. God is not a simple God. He's not simple-minded. He doesn't want you to be simple-minded. He wants you to understand things simply, but it takes someone deep to help you to understand complex things in a simple way. So we thank God for who he is. And if you seek him with your whole heart, if you study to show yourself approved, he will unlock your mind and your heart to understand these things. In Luke, it says, Jesus said, you know what? Even though you guys have been with me 3.5 years, I still, after he's getting ready to ascend to be with the Father, said he had to open the scriptures up for them to, their minds up, open them up to be able to receive the truth of the scriptures. And I have to, and I think when he said that, when I perceived that, it's almost like he's saying, don't think you know it all. Don't get to the point where you think you got it down. You got church down. You know how to do church. You know how to pray. You know how to preach. You know how to sing the songs. You know how to manipulate the congregation and make them shout and holler and flip over the benches. No, that's not what God would have us preachers to do. He wants us to understand and have a walking relationship with him in a deeper way so that we can show the richness of who God is. And so that people don't, as we have today, people have gotten to the point in our congregations where they become complacent because they're not, the leadership is not flowing with the Holy Spirit. And when we flow with the Holy Spirit, he will renew you and give you fresh water. A deep, cold, refreshing spiritual water every time you come together as a group, as a body. Here it's saying here, where are we? We are at, let's go to, it says that you can't even see without being born again. 5, it says, I'm telling the truth that no one can enter, the kingdom of God without being born of water and the word. You can't even go into the kingdom of God without being born again. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the spirit. Just because you understand God intellectually doesn't mean you know him. Know is a whole different word. It's a word, I think it's in Hebrew, it's yada, and it's a sexual term that means having intimacy, that in other words, he has his truth, his love, and his power has penetrated into your heart like a punch from a good boxer. Boom! And this, you've been hitting your chest, man. I had a lot of fights, man. I got hit in my chest, man. I didn't know what was going on. Knocked the air out of me. My heart started skipping a beat, and it wasn't love at first sight. It was somebody busting me in my chest. But that's just the way it is when you really gain perception of who God is. It just opens you up, and it makes you know, wow. That's when you gain true fear of God or respect for his word. And that means you're not afraid of him. Just like you respect your daddy, but you're not afraid of your daddy. And this is what God is trying to get us in. We're not supposed to be afraid of him, but we're supposed to respect him. When my father told me, George, take the garbage out. I said, I might sit around, keep on watching Leaving the Beaver. But then, buddy, when he said, George Allen Todd Jr., take that trash out. I said, uh-oh, he didn't say my middle name. I know I better get up and take this trash on out of here. Amen. And that's what God did. He got my attention. Now, here's what happened to me. I was I was born and raised in the Baptist church. Loved the Lord. Got called to preach when I was 16. When I didn't know what to do, I went to my pastor, asked him, what do I do since I think I'm called to preach? Got baptized when I was 12. And he said, you'll know. I said, uh-oh. What a minute, what you mean? I don't know. He said, you'll know if you're called. I said, okay. So here I am, a student studying history and math and everything. I mean, you know, one of those trying to be a bookworm kind of fellas. I thought there was something I needed to do in understanding who God was. Read what? The Job and get some wisdom books under my arm, or Ecclesiastes, or read Isaiah and study and memorize all the words of the prophets. No, he said, you'll know. Bro, after I heard that, I said, no, this ain't concrete enough for me. So I just ran for about 10 years. 10, 12 years, I just ran from the ministry. But the problem was, too, that I wasn't saved. I was religious. I was sincere, but sincerely wrong. I had a head knowledge of who God was, but I didn't have a heart relationship with him. You know, that bush in the chest kind of open up the door and let him in kind of thing. I didn't have that. And that's when I had to ask, beg, and plead with the Lord and repent of my sins, tell him I was sorry for all the things I had done. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. And then that's when he did it. He took away my fear of death. He made me know that he was the first priority in my life, not my wife, not my job, not anything else but him. And that's when he made me know who he was. And you know what? I was still so hard-headed that I didn't get baptized again. I didn't do it. He kept saying, you need to be baptized again. I didn't do it. I waited till I was in the ministry for 20 years, and then I wouldn't get baptized again. But you know what? The day that I got baptized again, there was about 30 other people that followed me in the tub. Poor little Mondo Jackson. He baptized all of us. Yeah, he's a little bitty fella. But he hung in there. Amen. But thank God for that's my testimony. I want you to know that. So none of us are what we call perfect in the way we come to God. We got to come to God the way he calls us and when he knows when we're going to give in. And sometimes he calls us before we say it. Amen. Most of the time, we're not listening anyway until he gets our attention. So he got my attention. And that's what Jesus is trying to do with Nicodemus. Get his attention. Now Nicodemus, he knew the law. Now the law was, they called the law the first five books of the Bible, which were written by Moses. They call it the Torah. But the Torah is really called the book of instructions. It's not just law. But Moses gave us the Ten Commandments. He didn't say the Ten Suggestions, the Ten Commandments. And most of us have, no, all of us have broke the Ten Commandments. All of us deserve to go to hell. Amen. And I'm not saying that in a nasty way. We all deserve to go to hell. That law shows that God is a holy God. He is perfect. And he can't deal with anything that deals with sin. And that's why Jesus came for us. He sent and allowed his only begotten son, Jesus. Whether you understand it or not. Faith is sometimes is trusting God when you don't even understand it intellectually. But you trust and believe him because he's gotten your respect. You know he's real. He's given you enough faith to trust him. And you just say, hey, Lord, just like Abraham, he said, come and go to a place. I'm sending you to a place that you don't even know where you're going. Abraham, okay, I'm going. I trust you. I know you now. I know you're not Baal. You're not no false God. You are the real deal. And I'm going to pack up and I'm going where you tell me to go. So that's what faith is all about. And that's what he's trying to get Nicodemus. He said, Nick, you ought to know that, man. You ought to know this, man. But Nick didn't know it. He didn't understand. But he had such a respect for who Christ was. He knew that the things that he performed, the signs and miracles he did, and he said that right off the bat, could not happen. Those miracles could not happen unless you were with God, that you came from God. You're a teacher sent by God. And that means he was a prophet. The law, one of the things that the Ten Commandments reveals to us is that we cannot survive without him spiritually. We can't survive without him. We can't live without him. We sing those songs. We can't live. Oh, please. You think you're living. Some of you singing those songs, not even saved. Like me, in church. Singing songs. I'm glad I learned those songs, those hymns. They come back, they really mean something now. But sitting in church, listening to sermons day in and day out, didn't hear the truth. It wasn't until I heard a tract. I read a tract when I was in the military. And I was fussing with somebody about some theology. It wasn't even saved. Sincere, but sincerely wrong about salvation. Salvation is a relationship. It's not about what you know and how many books of the Bible you can remember. The Pharisees, they had that. They knew that, and they didn't even know God. They was reading them every day. They was writing the scriptures every day, and they didn't know who he was. That's what he said. Y'all write this stuff, and y'all writing about me, and y'all don't even see me? That's how God can move you, you know. And then, as he said in Luke, Jesus said, sometimes I just got to open the door of your brain, your mind, so you can understand the scriptures. So now all I do is say, Lord, oh, I wasn't supposed to hit that too long. Lord, please open up my mind so I can understand more of your word. Don't let me get complacent. Don't let me become satisfied with what I think I know. Let me know you deeper and more deeper. And that's what he's looking for, surrendered heart. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jesus, the Savior, the one who saves us from our sins. Amen. You got to have a surrendered heart. That's what he's looking for. Our heart is the thing that pays for our new birth, a surrendered heart. It's the one that helps us to dive through this portal, this gateway, our heart, into this relationship with the Father. And Jesus said, that's what I came to do, to show you the Father, so you can see who the Father is. That's what he said. I don't say nothing unless the Father tells me. I do what the Father, that's what I see the Father do, that's what I do. And he's just trying to let us know that the Father is love. And that we, and by looking, watching his life and looking at his life, we ought to be doing, imitating him, mimicking his life, loving people, loving God first, then loving people. He ain't saying nothing about loving ourselves. God's got enough love for us. For us, we don't have to worry about loving ourselves. You already got that intrinsically installed. You got too much of that. Yeah, again, God gives us that power when we're born again to move those spiritual mountains. And those spiritual mountains are really problems that are in our lives that prevent us from having a relationship with the Father. That's the mountain. The mountain is that we got to ask the Lord to help us, give us the faith so we can see Father. And it says in the scripture, just said it, I just read it to you. He said, you can't even enter into the kingdom, or you can't even see it without being born again. And what does that mean? Basically, we are born upside down. We are born upside down. I got a brother that was born breech. I mean, he was feet first. Most of the time when you're born, your head comes out. It says a crown, it's your head crowning. You're born head first. But when we're born spiritually, we're born breech. We are upside down. Think of yourself walking through the world on your hands, trying to perceive what the world is all about. And what you're doing is you're walking like Satan. You can understand Satan's world because you're right there on the ground. Your head is all in his mess. You can't see. But when we get born again, he makes us right side up. And then all of a sudden, we're walking on our feet. Satan is beneath our feet. We got him under our feet. We're walking on, treading on top of him. And that's why he likes to bruise our little heels and keep us in trouble. But we just keep him under our feet and keep our head up so that we see Christ. We're living right side up. We're born again. And I know you probably haven't heard that before, but hey, that's okay. That's what comes when you study and ask the Lord to show you. And the last thing. My time. That was the last thing, huh? Well, all I can say is this, and I'm through. You know what? When you read about Moses and you read about what happened I just want to tell you that Moses shows us about the Passover that really, brothers and sisters, we need to let God apply the hyssop or the blood to our hearts, the door of our hearts, as it says in Revelation 3:20. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Open your heart to me and I'll come in. Our heart is the same as like that door that blood was sprinkled on. Please let him sprinkle that blood on your heart so that when he comes by, it won't be the death angel, it'll be the Lord Jesus coming back to rapture. And when he sees that your heart has been sealed with that blood, you'll be taken. But if you don't have that blood on the door of your heart, you're going to be left behind. God bless you. I didn't want to leave you on a downer. Jesus loves you. God bless you. Amen. Talk to you soon.